going to talk about teacher morale this hour and whether the public appreciates the jobs teachers do. And we'll wonder why in a statewide survey of Wisconsin school teachers, a third of them said they would not choose teaching again if they could go back in time and choose another career. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 25th. We're going to talk about the attitudes that were found in this survey that was conducted by Wood Communications Group in Madison, and we'll welcome your questions and views on the state of the teaching profession today. Would you advise a young person to become a teacher? Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future of education? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your reaction to this survey?
Well, I think initially those basic results, there's a lot of things that anyone in the field of education would sort of look at their broad field of colleagues and say, wow, you know, that's pretty good. You know, 85% agree that the field is changing. Now, a side concern is I'm wondering where those other 15% live if they don't think that, but
right.
I guess that's a slightly different issue. Three quarters responded positively. They, or at least they indicated responding positively to the idea of changing and trying to be ready for that change and react positively to it. That's a good thing. One of the ones, though, that's more disheartening is the one-third indicated that they would not go into the field again. And I suspect when they peeled the layers of that, probably the more time people have been in the profession, the more they've absorbed series of changes and revisions and reforms and attacks. Of course, this all depends on your point of view. They're probably quite fatigued by all of this, and hence the unprecedented retirements we've had in the last 3 years in the field of education in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, you know, the reactions are predictable, but they are unfortunate given the context.
And while we might be focusing on the negative here by saying that, you know, a third of them would not enter the field again, even those who are, you know, committed to the profession, they also, though, were reporting that the public had a negative attitude of their job, or that they sensed a lack of respect. So is that surprising?
And that is absolutely, that is, you know, that's not the 800-pound gorilla. That's the one that's sitting in your lap.
Mm-hmm.
teachers and public employees, and I think that this is a broad group of people that have dedicated their lives or decided to have their career focuses be within a public arena, have clearly found themselves on the attack end of lots of political and media attention that has said that a lot of the issues, a lot of the problems, a lot of the selfishness, a lot of the economic problems are caused by them, not necessarily a result of their efforts. It has been caused by them. Teachers have been described as unreasonable in their demands for a short work year or benefits. Public workers have been forced to take layoffs. You know, you have a whole litany of things. So anybody who is a sentient being and is awake that works in a public forum, boy, you know, they are. And so I think the fact that you see this basically positive outlook for the future is a testament that these people are committed to what they do, but they also realize the reality that they're to blame for the dropout rate, they're to blame for higher taxes, they're to blame, you know, keep going anyone down the list. And so the politics of divide and conquer has clearly caused these groups of people to be targets. And then to be able to be the other, the ones that are held accountable for this. And of course, the people in the profession are just saying, gee, I thought this was a good thing I was trying to do. And so it can be very disconcerting. And of course, that's why there are these morale issues that can't be ignored.
Beyond the survey, this negative attitude that is sensed by many in the teaching profession today, is this going to discourage people, young people, from going into this profession?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Recently, I was rereading the book Freakonomics, mm-hmm. and that's kind of a fun book because it has you look at economic decisions and then within a social context. We do not presently have in place in the state of Wisconsin a recipe for sustaining career growth and a strong teaching core 20, 25 years from now. Now, that does not mean that there will not be phenomenal teachers in Wisconsin 20, 25 years from now. But many, many school districts are in their third or fourth year of no salary increases for teachers. Now, that's none. They have had increases in benefit costs and other contributions. So not in those imaginary inflation dollars, in real dollars, teachers are taking home less money. That is not a recipe for teachers or any profession to be able to sustain its growth and professional integrity. You literally can't afford to be able to stay in a profession like that. We also have these shifting workplace expectations. Now, those are good. That happens all across the way. But teachers are being less engaged in those decisions, not more engaged. We have Common Core standards. That's the flavor of the month, so mm-hmm. to speak. Any teacher out there will say, oh, gosh, here we go again. There was A Nation at Risk. There was President Bush's Goals 2000. There was Bill Clinton's America 2000. There was Race to the Top. You know, we have all these names. And it's this tide of waves that keep hitting the shore of this change. Common Core, of course, is the current version. So teachers and districts are feeling less control. So this is not a recipe to attract and retain the best and brightest. So now it's not evenly happening all around the country, but clearly in Wisconsin, you could not easily maintain a middle class existence, be a college graduate, of course, as required, and stay in the field of education, hopeful in the future that you and your family will continue to grow and find yourself more economically secure. It's not a recipe for that.
Do you think teachers get enough respect from their communities? Do you think our state is placing enough of a priority on education? We're talking about the state of the teaching profession and how teachers are feeling these days based on this new statewide survey of teachers. And we're welcoming your questions and your opinions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 25th. So what do you think of Wisconsin teachers? Do teachers feel they get enough respect? We are talking about the results of a statewide survey of teachers with a professor of teacher education and wondering what would it take to improve teacher morale, the state of education. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College in De Pere. And our first caller is Rose in Milwaukee. Hello, Rose. What do you think?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have two comments. Number one is I am just starting my thesis in special education, and I just found out as of July 1st in Milwaukee, they have done away with all lane changes for a higher pay. As your guest was saying, that they've done away with raises. I didn't know that they were doing that. So I have spent thousands and thousands of dollars to get a master's so that I can help my special education students. And I am starting as a new teacher this year at the same rate of pay as someone who has a bachelor's. So normally what they would have done is you start at one salary as a bachelor's. But then if you have a bachelor's plus 12 graduate credits, you get a little bit more. If you have a master's, you get a little bit more. Well, I'm starting at ground zero, as if I have no extra education or knowledge or anything like that.
That frustrates your rules.
Well, it doesn't just frustrate me. I'm a single mother with two children, and one of my children has a lot of special needs. And it's worse than frustrating. I believe your guest is correct that we can't afford to be a teacher. Now, the good thing for me is I love every single one of my students. And I happen to be at an incredible school that where the staff is just like a family and a wonderful principal. If it wasn't for that, it would be incredibly difficult. I work at least 10, 11, sometimes up to 13 hours a day, and it is exhausting.
Yeah, well,
my other comment, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
My other comment is that there is so much pressure under the threat of school closings, losing our jobs, for schools to improve, yet we are fighting societal pressures that we have absolutely no control over. And especially in Milwaukee, excuse me, we're talking about poverty, neglect, abuse, homelessness. Even if a family is not in poverty, they may have different religious philosophies or just a philosophy of life that is very different from the kind of education we are mandated to teach. So how do we take care of these children, especially in poverty, when they can't do their homework? Or the parents are so overwhelmed or so worn out, especially in special education, and I know firsthand. How do we keep improving with that kind of pressure?
Professor Correa.
Well, the challenges that the caller talks about are, of course, evident. I mean, anybody that is in schools knows about some of these things. One of the unfortunate things, extremely unfortunate things that have happened to her, of course, is the rules changed while she was rounding second base, so to speak, to mix our metaphors. So that is unfortunate because there were one set of expectations that came in, and now she's finding the reality of the changing landscape, so to speak. One of the issues that's at play here, and the reason that this current climate will probably sustain itself in Wisconsin for some time to come, is a selective application of market forces. Now, by that I mean, in the United States, we graduate a little over 200,000 students in teacher education every year. And there are a little under 100,000 teaching jobs every year. So we have an oversupply of teachers. Now, this doesn't mean, though, that that's even in all areas. And as this caller clearly knows, special needs, selected languages, math and science, holy cow, those people can write their own ticket. They are high in demand. However, it's the selective application of these market forces that have made this come. Because, of course, we used to allow workers to represent their interests in the marketplace. But we've decided that in Wisconsin, the way that they can represent their interest is only through the application process, not through any input in workplace, working conditions, salaries, benefits, those kind of things. Those options have been eliminated. So one may hear the argument about market forces really deciding what determines this, but in reality, it's a very fixed game for teachers in the state. You can't actually represent your own interests. And districts really do put themselves at peril if they decide they want to start paying math teachers a lot more and science teachers a lot more than relatively oversupplied fields of social studies and math, or social studies and English. And the reason's pretty simple. Teaching is essentially a cooperative enterprise. Now, we all know you go in, you close the door, but teachers work, teachers collaborate, and the students move. Very difficult to tease out what particular teacher had what particular impact. So teachers work cooperatively, both by nature and practice. Very few teachers are isolation that way. So we have the selective application of market forces. What your caller said, though, is what really strong teachers do. They find the aspect of the profession that motivates them, colleagues, school, leadership, opportunities to contribute. That's what the good districts are going to do because they are limited with what they can offer financially. However, when you look long term, while those are very strong and motivating factors to be able to keep one involved in any profession, this sense of altruism, the sense of making a difference, we also know the other side of the equation is you have to be able to have the financial wherewithal to be able to maintain and sustain that attempt at self-actualization. Thank you, Dr. Maslow. But those things become increasingly difficult and more of a challenge long term. So we really won't see people stay in the profession as long term because those significant earning years where one, you know, establishes the future and you think about retirement, those necessarily aren't going to be available for teachers in the future. So you might see more, 3-5 years up and out of the profession.
Our caller Rose also said, how are teachers supposed to improve test scores and do a great job under such stressful societal conditions of poverty and such, especially in Milwaukee?
Yeah, and those are accurate. I mean, mm-hmm. she knows what's going on. I think that is not necessarily related to the idea of ACT, ACT 10 in Wisconsin and all the other kind of challenges that have gone on with decreasing salaries. Those would have gone on no matter what. What they do, though, is when you add those to the formula of challenges, teachers continue to feel there's even more expected of me. And those that stay will address that head on. But it does make it increasingly difficult because one does need to go above and beyond perhaps a particular job description to address those challenges. And, of course, that's the case all around the country, even in states like Minnesota and Illinois, where teachers have successfully, I don't want to say fought back, but pushed back and are demanding, and teacher unions and professional organizations are strong, they still have those challenges. So that's not unique to Wisconsin, yeah. But it's evident.
But there's certainly some stress there as a teacher. Tony in De Pere is with us. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Dan.
Tony, you're on the air.
Okay. I have been teaching 31 years and have seen lots of changes, as the professor had mentioned. I went into teaching for kids, and I'm still in it for kids. However, after Act 10, the morale at the school I am at, I teach fourth grade. I've taught all the grades up to eighth grade, but fourth grade. And we had a strong faculty that went through for years. We worked together as a team and collaborated. And after Act 10, people felt pressured to retire. These wonderful teachers who it takes, they say 10,000 hours is what it takes to finally get to be halfway decent at your job. They started to fill these seasoned teachers with LTEs. which are limited term employees who are hired at a cheap rate, do not get benefits. They're not guaranteed any job security. So they're hiring these people who have no experience coming into a classroom where a teacher was 30 plus years in there and knew what they were doing, and thinking that we're going to maintain the quality of test scores in Wisconsin. I've just, you know, been very, very, talking morale, it's horrible right now in education.
Tony, thank you for the call. We have just a minute before our newscast, Professor Correa. So some school districts are replacing longtime teachers with temps?
Well, I'm not particularly familiar with that case. Certainly you could hear the frustration in the caller's voice. Local districts and local leadership, the superintendents I know, these are committed people. These are not cold-hearted individuals that are saying, here's my opportunity to be Simon Legree and put the teachers on the railroad track tied to it. But they have to make strong and powerful economic decisions every day. They are limited in their options.
Yeah, let me hold you there, because we do have news, and we'll continue after we check news, talking about the state of the teaching profession and the morale of teachers today. We'll continue after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. A recent survey of Wisconsin teachers show that most of them believe that the public views them negatively, that they're not getting enough respect from the community. A third also say that if they could go back in time, they would likely not pursue a teaching career. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Wednesday, September 25th. We are discussing these attitudes and this survey with an education analyst, talking about what can be done, what should be done to improve the public's perception of teachers and teacher morale and the state of education overall. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College in De Pere. And let's get some more callers in. Lots of teachers on the line. Pam in Eau Claire is with us next. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
Yes, what do you think?
I'm going to try not to be too emotional here. I've been teaching over 25 years, and I have my master's. I'm 50 years old. I teach middle school English, and I see 140 students a day. I am the first at school, not that I'm bragging, because there's a lot of other, you know, people that come after me. I'm usually there by 6, 6:30. Not an unusual thing. I used to stay until 6 o'clock at night until this year, because what's happened is the morale is so bad in our school that these younger teachers, and I pity those younger teachers, they come into my classroom and we talk, and it's gotten to be so bad that I have to leave it for one thing. I got to get home and I have to grade papers until 10 o'clock at night, because the constant, you know, we have RTI, we have Common Core, we have the gifted and talented, blah, 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 blah. We've been differentiating, we teachers that have been, we all have, for years and years, but it's the paperwork and documentation that we have to do weekly, biweekly, and so forth because of these new standards, whatnot. And it's gotten to the point where, yeah, if I could, I would find another job. I have one son that's a teacher in northern Wisconsin, and right now, thank God, he's single, because it used to be back when I went to school, a male teacher could be the head breadwinner of a family. He makes $28,000 a year. This is his second year. He has to, obviously, most of us do have to work summers. He works the day he gets out to the day he goes back in the summer, because he can't make it. He can't make it otherwise. I teach summer school. I sell produce. I do whatever I can to make ends meet. My daughter is student teaching right now. When Act 10 went through, or even before that, the big to-do at the Capitol, I called her. She was a sophomore in college, and I said, get out. She cried and cried and cried. She loves teaching. She wants to teach. I don't know what we're doing with our kids. The universities are doing a pretty good job, I think, in my opinion, of preparing these kids. But when they get out there, they're seeing things the insurance alone. My insurance is now at a $3,000 deductible. I got Lyme's disease this summer. I had the bullseye and everything. You know what I did? I could not afford to go in for the tests, let alone the antibiotics. I called all my teacher friends. I got everybody's antibiotics that they didn't use, and I used them, and I treated it myself.
Wow, that was pretty powerful. Professor Correa.
Yeah, boy. Well, one thing that's obvious is that teaching runs in her family's DNA, as it does in a lot of families. And so, some of the things she mentioned are pretty interesting. Well, all of them are, but in particular, cooperating teachers in the field really filter and carefully interact with new teachers because they do want the profession to continue. And clearly, teachers that are maintaining in the classroom now, maintaining their profession, feeling these pressures, both economic and obviously emotional, that come onto them, the message to new teachers, you want it to be a positive message because you want them to be able to maintain. And that becomes very, very difficult. So I don't know if there's anything else to be able to share with that, but it's obvious that with her children, with her involvement, with working with new teachers, she has really quite a wide perspective, and I think she's illustrative of the stresses that classroom teachers feel that they're under now, and it's very, very real.
The survey, again done by Wood Communications Group, also asked teachers what would make things better, and some said, most of them said more planning time. 75% said more planning time. More collaboration with their colleagues, 55% said that. More respect for what they do, 49% said that. Less paperwork, which I think we heard our caller mention there too, 46%.
Are there any professions that want more paperwork?
Yeah. And all of those were top priorities ahead of money, but more money, 44%.
And some districts, in particular, Appleton has just put in place this year, once a month, there's an late start so that the teachers can have daytime planning time to collaborate and talk and meet, and whether it's a response to intervention or any of the other kind of acronyms that we may use to coordinate teachers' efforts to plan for student success, they've begun to build that into the system. So I think that's a logical reaction that's happened within some districts that have started to do that. Now, we also, though, see that that's happening within other professions, too. Workplaces are being redesigned to allow for more collaboration. I don't know if we have Google to thank for that or whatever the case, but certainly people have to interact, people have to talk. But a lot of districts feel that they don't have the money or the capital to be able to do that, and those teachers are still expected to be able to raise test scores, address the myriad of student needs. So some of the more progressive districts have put that into place, and when teachers are smart, they can read. They find out this is being done at other places, and why can't we do this here? And again, here's the district leadership saying, these are my financial resources. What can I put into place to make this happen? But it is happening, but it's happening slowly and at selected districts. More will perhaps make those adjustments.
Let's go next to Jenny in La Crosse. Hello, Jenny.
Hi there.
Are you a teacher too?
I am a second grade teacher. Mm-hmm. I've been teaching for 15 years here in the La Crosse area. I have a wide variety of feelings going on here listening to your show. I initially called to just share that I am a proud teacher, and I could not imagine doing anything else with my life. Not to say that I do not have a lot of stress. I am very blessed to teach in a small rural district where the teachers do collaborate when given the opportunity. I have so many emotions right now, so I hope I don't get too passionate here, but there are so many expectations put upon these children, let alone the teachers. I think we're forgetting that teaching is an art, And with all the Common Core, PBIS, RTI, everything coming down the pike, sometimes I feel like we forget that these children need to be taught to the whole child. And as teachers, it's our job to take the curriculum and create lessons that we know fit the children. But with all the standards and the testing and the data and the progress monitoring, the new teachers, they don't understand that. All they see is the Common Core and what they need to teach and teach to the book and teach to the test. But I'm here to say that we can do it. And I strongly believe that I have a powerful position and I'm there for the kids. And yes, I work in a rural district. I make $30,000 a year and I've been there 15 years. Yeah. But I just want to send the message that I guess I don't care anymore what the public thinks of me as a teacher. I know what I do is extremely important, and I take that in stride. And I go to work every day. I love my job. So I just want to send a positive message out there among all the negativity, which there is. I see it every day. I have to push it aside. But I guess that's all I really wanted to say.
I'm glad you called, Jenny. So we can do it, Professor Correa.
Yeah, and you know, obviously that's the kind of person that school leadership is very excited by and very pleased by. And boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of parents out there that's the kind of teacher that they want their students to have, or their children especially. And, you know, it is interesting because when the debates were initially happening about Act 10 and teachers, you know, the negative commentators were sharing that teachers say they're for the kids, but look at them down there in Madison marching. And fortunately, they were just mixing up so many arguments. Teachers, though, should not be held hostage to their interest and commitment to the education of children. In other words, we have a social contract in place. Anyone that remembers taking politics anywhere along the way. And I think the idea is many teachers feel that this idea of this social contract has been broken or at least renegotiated in a way that is not to their benefit. This teacher is obviously committed to students, and she's going to make it work no matter what. It's hard to replicate that attitude. It is admirable, and it can get somewhat contagious, but you have a lot of push-pull factors going on. But yes, I do think it's critical to remember, classroom teachers are there, drama teachers, theater, you know, librarians, special aides, coaches. You've got this myriad of support staff and professionals in schools. They are there overwhelmingly because they want to be. And I think it comes down to a simple idea that is difficult to grasp for those that don't understand it, and it's honor. And these teachers are in an honorable profession, and many do not feel that honor is understood or respected. This caller retains that intrinsically. That is impressive in any human being. I don't care what their profession is. That idea of self-respect and honor is critical. Those are important. It's how then the infrastructure respects that, supports that, nurtures that, and grows that. And I think a lot of teachers feel that negotiation has been eliminated, and hence you find the feelings of abandonment.
Thank you very much, Jenny, again for the call. We are talking with Steve Correa. He is an associate professor of teacher education at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We're talking about a statewide survey of Wisconsin school districts and the results that found a significant number of school teachers in the state feel underappreciated. And a third of the teachers polled said they would not pursue a teaching career again if they had to do it all over. We're wondering about the state of the teaching profession today and welcoming your thoughts and views. Maybe you're a teacher. Just about everybody we heard from so far this hour has been a teacher. Let us know what it's been like for you. What would help? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 25th. We are talking about teaching and the state of teaching today. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Matt in Oshkosh is with us. Hello, Matt.
Good morning. I am a school board member, and I have one piece of advice for the teachers out there. All they have to do is find a way to deliver. As a school board, we are seeking out the teachers that can get the job done. We don't care how they get the job done. We just care that they do find a way. We know it's tough. It's tough for us to try to run the district because of the way things are in the world today. But there's tremendous competition out there, and when we find a teacher that can deliver the goods, that can get the message across to these kids, we reward that teacher. We do everything in our power to hang on to those good teachers that can actually deliver. All teachers are not created equal, and that is what the union would have you believe. We are searching for these good teachers, so keep that in mind. Thank you.
Reaction to that, Professor Correa?
Well, I don't think that there's anything to challenge in that. It's a very nice message. I'm sure that there's not a single teacher out there that is thinking, I wonder what he means by deliver. Does he mean deliver so that you notice all the time? So do I need to inform you that I'm delivering? Or I'm a professional and I deliver every day in my classroom, but how does that show up? How is that measured? How is that determined? And it's certainly not to belittle what the caller said. That's not it at all. It's just that I think most teachers would argue that they do deliver, but perhaps it's not noticed, or how are we talking about measurement, or and of course the old, I'm delivering in this area and you want me to do it in that area. So, we're on the same page. I think that teachers may probably want to have a conversation with that board member, and that would help some of those expectations be clarified.
Help me remember this, Professor Correa. Didn't the report cards just come out recently for the schools, or some sort of, and the Milwaukee schools maybe didn't do so well, but just about every school in the state did okay?
Right. And these, again, you know, anybody that takes a simple measure, or, you know, boils down complex measures to simple numbers, one might question that. But broadly speaking, the overwhelming number of Wisconsin schools with this more standardized measure are meeting expectations, or slightly exceeding, or only slightly not exceeding, or below the average. But yeah, overwhelmingly, Wisconsin schools are doing very, very well. So, they are successful in what they're doing.
Let's go to Carol in La Crosse. Hi, Carol.
Good morning. I'm married to a third grade teacher, and I just wanted to say that no matter how bad the morale is that teachers are feeling when they're in the teacher's lounge, when they move into the classroom, they put on their game face and they do what's best for the kids. And so parents and kids probably really don't have any idea how much extra work teachers are having to do and how bad the morale is.
Yeah, well, you don't disagree with that, Professor Correa?
Well, I think it's an interesting, you know, to kind of go back to the previous caller. Teachers get their rewards often in intrinsic ways, seeing that student get a little excited, more happy to come to school, more willing to, you know, the greatest gift a teacher can give to a third grader is to want to be a fourth grader. That idea of continuing. So I think when we look at rewards and incentives, teachers are primarily intrinsically motivated. Now, we all have that basic level that we have to do, but, schools don't have a lot of financial incentives that they can provide to teachers, because it's not as if you can give a $25,000 merit pay bonus. It just doesn't happen. But, you know, it's those that whole constellation of challenges, and teachers are trying to find ways to be able to connect with students. And, oftentimes teachers determine that, and, you see that spark in the child's eye. So they want to continue because that is motivating for the teacher. That's exciting.
Deborah on Facebook writes, I love my job as a high school teacher, but I have been cursed at and taunted by strangers when I admit this is what I do for a living. It is a calling. And yet I would strongly discourage anyone thinking of becoming a teacher after Act 10 and its aftermath in Wisconsin. Boy, she's been cursed at by strangers.
Yeah, I'd have to say that's never happened to me, but maybe I hang around different people. I'm not sure. But there are many communities where teachers are honored. And at least if they're not honored, they're valuable members of the community. And I'd have to say that's the overwhelming number of those. This is, again, to go back to whether it's librarians, coaches, classroom teachers, this whole thing, they're valuable members of the community. That is both socially and economically. That's the other side of this argument. We're going to see middle-class families disappearing because teachers are middle-class families. You're not able to sustain that. But it's that community involvement and that community support that make these areas strong. So,
is there anything with our final minute, Professor Correa, that you can think of that would improve the community's appreciation of teachers and improve teacher morale?
Wow, I think Aristotle, Socrates, and Plato were trying to deal with that one, too. It's tough in Wisconsin because teachers, there's the old expression, push back. They've really had their arms removed from pushing back. It's very difficult. It's not that way across the country, but teachers are difficult. They're in a tough setting. And, it's that idea of honor and self-respect and deciding why you are in the profession. That sustains all of us no matter what we do.
Well, interesting as always. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, very glad. Wonderful callers in this state, aren't they?
Wow, we've had a lot of them, and we still have a lot of them waiting online. We'll have to talk again about teaching as the weeks go on. Steve Correa is an associate professor of teacher education at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Robin Cherry for producing this program. Thanks very much for listening and for calling in. Stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.